Alright. It's chus to be learning together. Continue during Yimei Svira, these big, big days of growth. Very, very important days. And I want to talk about something. I want to talk about something that's on one level shayach to all of us. Even though some of the pratim you might sound like it's not for all of us. But the halacha is obviously for all of us, and the yisoid is a very important yisoid. We'll start in the following way. We're already holding a week before Lag BaOmer. Lag BaOmer is a very, very heilig yontiv. Now's not the time to go into the depth of understanding it, maybe for another time. What is that?
Next Thursday night.
Next Thursday night, hopefully, we'll be Meron, but if we're not, it'll be Meron. We'll be here, we'll talk about it, even though that will be pulling Lag BaOmer into the year, which is very big by the Hasidim, definitely what they do, by all the big Yamim Tovim. But one of the Minag Yisrael by Lag BaOmer, that any of us who's been by Meron, by Rav Shimon knows, is that Minag Yisrael is that by Lag BaOmer to have upsharins. The Minag itself, to have an upsharin, is a Minag not all of us have. Some of us do have, some of us don't have. Stomach could be the only reason on the surface why there's so many upsharins Lag BaOmer, is because you have 33 days of individuals who weren't able to cut their hair. So you have 33 days of children who are turning three, so here comes, and everybody's having an upsharin on the same day, so it's a big day for upsharins. It could be that, on the surface, that could be a possibility. Although I saw a Berhetiv, the Berhetiv brings down that for an upsharin, you could even get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, you could do the upsharin on Chol HaMoed. What? So it's only really, if you didn't have your birthday from after that already, maybe about 7-8 days into Svira. It's not really 33 days.
What you're saying, Chol HaMoed is an actual, more of an issue to actually do.
I'm saying in general, of the what?
Svira, you'd be able to. No?
No. Chol HaMoed, because Chol HaMoed has nothing to do with the halachos of, the reason you don't get a haircut on Chol HaMoed has nothing to do with, it's because of Achana. For children, we don't say that to begin with. So therefore, you can get upsharin on Chol HaMoed. But you wouldn't be able to have an upsharon during Yimei Avelus necessarily, right? Lemaisa, I want to talk about a little bit this minhag of an upsharon. This minhag of an upsharon is really very shayach, actually, not just because we're preparing for Lag BaOmer, but this week's Sedra. So the minhag to have an upsharon, first of all, most point to the mitzvah of Arla, which is in our Sedra, and Shlishi of Kedoshim. The mitzvah of Arla, that the first 3 years of the tree, we leave the tree, and lo ye'achal, we don't eat the fruits of the tree, until Shana Revias, ye'er kol per ye'kodesh, ilulim Hashem, and the fourth year it's all kodesh. So too, v'adam et asada, the Pasuk in Shoftim says, v'adam et asada, we're compared to a tree. So too, a child for 3 years, we leave for the hair to grow long, we don't touch it, and only in the fourth year do we cut it. A lot of svarim point that I'm sure you've heard that before, it's not a chiddush, it's this week's parasha. And then, there's a Yalkut Shemoni that compares the chinuch of a child to Arla. We see that in the fourth year, as we just read, it's kodesh ulul mashem, that's when the holiness begins. So the chinuch starts of a child when the child is turning three, the beginning of the fourth year. And the chinuch begins by an upsharin with the mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah in this week's parasha as well. Los akivu pas roishchem. The idea of an upsharin is not just to cut the hair for the first time, but to leave peis. Right? To leave peis. Which tells us, and which is mamish, by the way, the juxtaposition, it's literally two psukim later. The mitzvah of Arla and the mitzvah of Los Akifu Pas Roishchem is two psukim away from each other, telling us these are very interconnected. But Lemaisa, we see from here, Minag Yisrael is that the first mitzvah to be mechanich a child in, is the mitzvah of Pais. It's very interesting, if you stop and think about it. Out of all the mitzvahs in the Torah, the first mitzvah that we're mechanech our children, those of us that have the minhag of an upsharon, is the mitzvah of Pais. It's a little bit strange. We have to understand this. Why is this first mitzvah the mitzvah of Pais? In order to understand why the first mitzvah is the mitzvah of Pais, so we're going to have to analyze tonight and try to understand in a deeper way what this mitzvah of Pais is. Now, I'm not talking, even though maybe come out that you'll have a deeper understanding for those of us and some of us in this room and some of us that, yet that have long Pais, the Chumrah, but La Halacha, we all know, everybody in this room, La Halacha is Pais. Not talking about Chassidish Pais and long Pais. Although, what comes out from tonight might make a lot of sense why there's such a minog, but I'm not trying to inspire you to have that at all. It's not how you have to walk away from tonight. But you can walk away from tonight with a deeper understanding of this mitzvah, a mitzvah that Baruch Hashem, in an amazing way, we're all Mekayim. It's a mitzvah that's very easy to be Mekayim. In fact, I saw in this Nayim LaTorah, it's interesting, Rav Zalman Saratkin, he says, if you look in the Pasuk says, Lo tzakifu pa'as roishchem, b'lashon rabim, Lo tzakifu pa'as roishchem, and then Lo sashchus es pa'as zikonecha, b'lashon yachid. When talking about not destroying the hairs of the beard, which the halacha, as we all know, you can't take a razor to your face, as none of us do, Baruch Hashem, of keeping a beard on some level, which we all on some level do, even if we shave with electric shavers, we don't take a razor to our face, is B'lashon Yachid. Why is that true? The Znaim Torah says, because it's come a time, and already the Torah knew, and Kach Baruch Hu knew, there's going to come a time where Los Akivu Pas Roishchem is not going to be such a big deal. Everybody's going to be keeping it. Everybody, Barabim. And even more so, there's going to be no taiva not to, because, as we know, the ikar reason behind it, as the Rambam brings down in Marin Avuchim and in the Mishnah Torah, is Kineged Oivdei Avodah Zarah. And it comes in our days, we don't find this. We don't find Oivdei Avodah Zarah. We don't find people who are serving their gods by having these mushroom haircuts. Okay, you see sometimes guys having steps or whatever, but ultimately we don't find this type of haircut in Oivdei Avodah Zarah. So there isn't that taiva for that anymore. So there's no strong halacha to not have one's Pais. Everybody's going to keep Pais. But the Rav Zalman Saratkin says, but at the same time, it's going to come a time where to keep a beard is not so simple, not so pashut, and you might walk around and feel that you're being mocked and it's something that people are embarrassed to have. So lo sashchus is pasta konecha b'lashon yachid, and giving each individual a certain chizik that you should do this. Now halach, we all do this, obviously. The halach is not to put a razor to your face, as the Gemara's and Makos explain over there, the chaf over there, I believe. Something, right? Chaf, chaf, alaf, what is it? But it's interesting, Rav Zalman Saratkin was telling us, he understands, we all keep this mitzvah. Getting back, we're not going to give the chizik of the beard right now, even though, as many of you know, Rav Chaim Knievsky for the first time this summer told me I have to have a beard. And I've kept a small beard since then. But I told the chevra the story what happened. Yeah. This summer when I went with my son to get a bracha by his bar mitzvah from Rav Chaim, so we went, we had a bracha Hashem a few minutes with him, it was very special. I've gone to Rav Chaim many, many times before this. The first time I walked in, he says, okay, you have to have a beard now. It's the first time he told me this. So I took it seriously, and amongst other reasons, starting from that Rosh Hashanah, I started keeping a beard. Again, a small beard to the face. And then, I was back in Eretz Yisrael, and I wanted to go to him, but when I was there right after Sukkot, I wasn't able to go. I was there for Yom Kippur. No, it wasn't that time either. I'm driving to Cheshvan. So those were very quick trips. It was when January. It's January, I got into Eretz Yisrael straight from the plane. I got in very early and I had time to go straight before. And generally, straight from the plane, I end up in Shalavim. But here I went straight to Bnei Brak and then to Shalavim. So I went to straight and I had this chus, which is unbelievable. I had an hour of free time. So you have to use every moment in Eretz Yisrael. At an hour, I didn't have to be in Shalavim yet, and I didn't know if the guys would be around even. So I mom just jumped in the car, got to Bnei Brak in under 15 minutes. within a half hour, Bnei Brak had the schus to be with Reb Chaim and Reb Aaron Leib, and then straight to Shalvim, who was mamish, with no phone calls, no appointments, nothing. It was like Nisim. Anyway, so I went to Reb Chaim. So the first thing I said to Reb Chaim that time in January was, I said, Rebbe told me this summer I should have a beard. I have a beard now. So he started smiling. I said, but the MS, my wife really doesn't like the beard. So he looks at me, he says, your wife doesn't like the beard because she thinks you only have the beard because I told you to have the beard. If your wife thinks you have the beard because you love the beard and you want the beard and you think it's important, you'll start to like the beard. This is what Reb Chaim told me. It's a big psychology in marriage for another time. And then he says to me, and you should be zoichin to have a long beard, and starts cracking up. Then I asked him a few shilas, but we're not going to go into beards now. We're not going there now. Maybe another time. But this mitzvah of payas. Let's get back to payas. Payas, why is this the first mitzvah we're mechanech our children? What's so important about payas of all the mitzvahs? Even payas, by the way, having payas, is there a mitzvah to have payas? Meaning, the mitzvah, it's a lav. It's a lav. Los akivo pas roishchem. It's a lav. Don't destroy your payas. Not what I say, right? So right now, are we mekayem mitzvah because we have payas right now? So you have to understand this, just understand. It's the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, it tells us, Yosha v'lo over aveira, nois lo schar ko is a mitzvah. If you sit and you don't do an aveira, you get tzchar like you did a mitzvah. But Rashi explains this. It's not so posh. It doesn't mean right now we're getting a mitzvah for not destroying our payas. Rashi says, "Hu yoshev lo aver avera dekamer noitel aschar bavera noitel aschar bavera shabol liyado the kafar yatro v'lo aver ein mitzvah yisera mizu." Which is really, it's not Rashi. It's the next. I should have read the next one in the Gemara. Amar le asam could go and shabod dvar aver liyado v'nitzol hameno. Meaning what? And Rashi just extends it that he says such a lashon. I wanted to read a mitzvah yisera mizu, that when you have the opportunity to do an avera and you don't do the avera, that's when it's kilu you did the mitzvah. So I'd venture to say, I'd like to suggest, every time you go to get a haircut, every time you go to get it, next week, Bez Hashem, a lot of you get a haircut by like Boimer time, unless you're holding like the Arizal and holding till the end. But you go to a barber, get a haircut. When you tell the barber and you make sure the barber doesn't cut your payas, that's when you're mekayim this mitzvah of los akivu pas roishchem. Interesting. So every new chiddush today, maybe we just that itself. That every time you go to the barber, you can mekayim a mitzvah, ka'is a mitzvah. Beautiful, right? Beautiful. So let's understand payas. Let's understand this mitzvah. What do I say?
If you have a Jewish barber, then you're never going to be with the mitzvah. But he's going
to not even a Jewish barber. You have to tell. I mean, from barber.
I told my barber.
I hear you don't have to. Okay, but try. I hear, but you have the opportunity. You could. You have a potential to go to. You should go to a goyish barber specifically so you can mekayim the mitzvah. I don't know. I hear you. Maybe I don't know. So let's understand the depth in what the mitzvah of payas is. So as we said already, the Rambam tells us it's a mitzvah keneged avodah zarah, that oyvdei avodah zarah, they would get haircuts where they destroy this area of the hair. We want to obviously always stay away from avodah zarah, which the Rambam has many mitzvahs like this, we know. The problem is, it's not a problem, it's emes vada. For us, it's very hard to connect to that because we don't have Oiv Deva Dezara like this. We don't even have, none of us have Taiva for Oiv Dezara. The Taiva of Oiv Dezara was obliterated. It's very hard to connect Vad that we keep the mitzvah, but to have a depth and really gain a chizik from the mitzvah because it's connected to Oiv Dezara, that's very hard for a lot of us. It's very hard. So listen to this. So I saw brought down from the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai, I'm going to develop one idea, and then this is not where we really want to go, but I want to just suggest. The Ben Ish Chai is talking Gemara Megillah, Dav Yud Beis Mabeis. The Gemara there say, Mordechai Muchtar Benimuso Haya, which means Mordechai was crowned, literally, the way Rashi explained, Benimuso in Greek was meant your Nimos is your name. He was crowned by his name. It's that Gemara over there in Yud Beis Mabeis, talking about whether he's Benyamin and Yehuda, right? That whole Gemara over there, right? You guys, the Chavar knows the Gemara. Ishimini, right? He's crowned by his name. That's Pasha Pshat. But what was this crown? So the Ben Ish Chai says the crown was really his payas. that Mordechai had thick, big payas. I saw this inside. I should have. The Ben Ish Chai says he had thick, big payas that can be seen from afar. And the Ben Ish Chai says that was his crown. That was his crown. A crown is something beautiful, wonderful. That was his crown. His payas was his crown. And the Ben Ish Chai gives chizik that everybody has to have such payas. And he says, not that you have to have thick, large payas like that. He says, I know, in his community it wasn't done that way, he says.
What? The picture shows him, though, with very thick.
He did, but he knew that his people didn't. But he says, at least you have to have payas that people from afar could notice you have payas, whatever that means exactly. Okay, that's what he says. So I was thinking about this when he's talking about this, when the Ben Ish Chai is talking specifically in Mordechai, specifically he's telling us Mordechai is our symbol for payas. So I want to just bring out one possibility, and this is not what we're going to... So this is a Kedushas Levi about Mordechai, the Bardichever, where the Pasuk says, in the Megillah, in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Beis, V'chol avde ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech k'rim m'shtachav l'haman, ki chayin tziv lo ha-melech, u'mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachave. Mordechai lo yichrev lo yishtachave. Mordechai didn't bow down, right? Didn't kneel, didn't bow down. It's b'loshon asid. Lo yichrev lo yishtachave. So Kedushas Levi asks, why is it b'loshon asid? Kol avde ha-melech asher b'shar ha-melech k'rim, and he, it should be lo kara. Not lo yichra. Why is it b'lashon asid in the future? So listen to this. Because Shlevi reads this unbelievable. He says, "V'chol avdei melech asher b'shar ha-melech k'rim yishtachav l'haman." Mordechai, as you know, was part of the government. And by the way, the Ben Ish Chai himself speaks about that and says, even though he was part of the government, even though he was part of the aristocrats, he had no busha, he had no shame to wear his payas large like a crown on his head. And we see over here, the Berditchever says, lo yichrev lo yishtachaveh. The Berditchever says, kol avdei ha-melech k'rim yishtachav l'haman, meaning the decree was only the avodim had to bow to Haman. The other hierarchies in the government didn't have a chiv to bow to Haman. And Mordechai could have gotten away without bowing to Haman because he was an officer in the government, whatever, he had a bit high position. He didn't have a, but they asked him why Mordechai wasn't. He said, I want you to know, I'm not bowing just because I'm part of the government. I'm not bowing because I'm a Yid. Meaning, even if you told me I had to bow as part of the government, as a hierarchy, I never will. I'm just not bowing now. I'm never going to bow to you, no matter what. Meaning, Mordechai was proud to be a Yid in such a way where he could have rationalized and easily not done anything wrong, just not bowed and sat back on the sidelines and said, I'm not bowing because I don't have to bow. I'm not Avde, I'm not an Eved. He said and explained to Avon, Ani Yehudi, I'm never bowing to you. He was proud to be a Yid. And the payas on Mordechai, maybe that's specifically why the Ben Ish Chai is telling us. That specifically the Mordechai is the symbolism of that Yid who's proud to be a Jew. And that's one of the areas, meaning one of the ideas of payas is that we're showing the world, it's a physical imprint on my face that I'm a Yid, and I'm proud to be a Yid. Now the truth is, this is also, that's why, again, I'm not pushing this on anybody, but that's why it does make a little bit more sense in that to have the chumrah of longer payas, because in this day and age, the regular halachic payas in no way sets it apart from a guy. Again, there's no chiv, don't take me wrong, don't take any words, but b'hashkofa, if that's the essence of what payas is about, which maybe was the Ben Ish Chai is getting at a little bit, it would make sense, those who do it, maybe we could appreciate now, nobody has to do it if that's not what they feel is best for them or what they want, but we could appreciate those who have longer payas in making that roishim and showing, because on my face, I want the world to know I'm a Yid, I'm different, I'm a Jew. I'll tell you, Emes Shvamito, about 15 years ago, when I started having longer payas, it was right after I got married. Maybe it's something some of us have to wait till we're married, because you could be afraid shiduchim prior to that. Once you're married, you can do a lot of things you weren't ready to do before. Emes, I'll tell you Emes story from this table. I think I could say his name. He wouldn't be upset. The Talmud, Chavrut Talmud, a lot of the Chavrut might know. You definitely know one of his brothers, Joey Rosenfeld. Joey Rosenfeld sat at this table for at least 3 years straight. For, I don't know, Chavesness, 3-4 years straight. Probably 3 years straight. Every Thursday night he was here. I still think I have. He would, maybe they're over here. I don't know, I have somewhere, we moved them. He used to, he's an amazing artist, and he's very Kabbalistic, and he's good with Kamachi. The old Shir, he'd be sitting writing artistry and like crazy fires, and I don't know, we used to, at the end of every Thursday night, I'd take them and collect them, and I had like this whole pile on tissues, on plates, like amazing things, unbelievable things, and suddenly he'd come up with like, in the middle Shir, with the greatest Kamachis you've ever heard of in your life. And Lemaisa. So Joey at one point grew payas, right? Just little payas, like mine, whatever, right behind the ear. And he was here, I remember, and it's Thursday night, he's here. And he stayed there, I remember that Thursday night specifically. He was like here very late, till like 2, 2.30 in the morning maybe, with a bunch of chevro, talking after the shir. And then in the morning, he did chaburas in DRS. And I walk into DRS, 7.45, 7.50, whatever in the morning. And right away I see Joey, this is like a few hours later. No payas. No pace. Now, I don't mean halakhic pace, he had, but the longer ones, the chumradika ones, gone. Gone. I was with him literally like 4 hours earlier. Pace. 7 o'clock in the morning. 7:50, whatever. No pace. I'm like, Joey, what's up? Yailish. Call me Yailish. Yailish, what's going on? So he tells me, Rebbe, I hope he's okay, I tell this over, but he would be. He tells me, Rebbe, last night, I had a dream. And three like rabbi-looking figures came to me. I forget if they actually cut them. I think they told them you have to cut off your payas, or they actually cut off the payas. I don't remember which one. One of the two. And I woke up in the middle of the night. Like it was 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning, whatever time. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was so scared. I just ran. I was thinking I have to talk to you about it, but I couldn't even wait. I just immediately cut off my payas. I could not. True story. True story. Wait, listen. So I told him, listen. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I hope I'm saying this correctly, there was one girl that wasn't so excited about his payas. He was in the parsha dating at that point. And it was an Indian, if it was something that, you know, some girls were into, some girls were not into, whatever. Chesnish. So I said, Yailish, let's look for the good. It could be this is what you needed to do. To find the proper shidduch, this shouldn't get in the way of anything, and you're much more, you're much deeper than this, it's just exterior chitonius, it's MS, it's fine, it's good, you'll see. I think it was Mamish, the next girl he dated, who is Baruch Hashem, is Alana, who he married. Not to say Alana's against or for payas, I don't even know him, I don't remember, but I'm just saying, so something in it, Mamish, that was what I told him, and Mamish, next girl he dated, he married. Baruch Hashem. Anyways, so I don't know why I'm telling that story now, but I guess payas in this table, just I don't remember where it came from. But Lemaisa, payas could definitely be that a strong symbolism of my Yiddishkeit and wearing my Yiddishkeit. As I was saying, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
That's why, I don't know why. How'd that go to Yiddish, what?
Yeah, you're
talking about myself.
Only after you got married.
Oh, after you're married, that's why. Oh, good. So it always comes together. So I remember. So my first, told about it.
No, the same way.
I didn't have payas before I was married. It was our first trip to Eretz Yisrael together.
He had payas before he was married.
Yeah, really.
No, it wasn't. I don't know if it was our first trip to Eretz Yisrael. We got married in March. Our first trip, we were there. So it wasn't right. My first trip, I was with my wife. I think it wasn't the first trip. It was for the summer in Eretz Yisrael. Then Sukkot, I think it was then the next February. I don't know, whatever. Over the first year married, at some point, one of these trips started to stroll. Over the first year married, I was with my wife and I said, I think it's time I went to a... It was the last... That was the last time I went to a barber and I strolled, MS. I went to the barber, I said to keep the payas, and they formed it and kept the payas, and it was the first time I kept my payas from that point. But that, I'll tell you, that was very much my personal cheshbon. Again, there's nothing halachic about this. My personal... Cheshbon wasn't to be machver because that's an area we're not supposed to touch. It was completely because this yarmulke, at any point I want, I could go somewhere, I could take it off, it could fall off. And at the point I didn't have a beard, you know, just till this year I had a beard. I thought it was very, very important to have a physical roishim to tell the world and to tell myself for my own avodas Hashem to help me in my own avodah Hashem that I'm a yid. That I'm a yid. And even though these are halachic kpeis, because they blend in with the rest of the world, they don't necessarily tell the world that, they don't tell yourself that. And I felt it was very important. It was a personal cheshbon for, there are many reasons within why I felt that at that time. But so that could be one, you said. But again, for those of us, for those of us who don't have longer pace, I want to go in the following way. This is really what I really wanted to build up to. So we've said over the Rambam, and we said over this understanding based on the Ben Ish Chai and the Kedushas Levi. But this is the area I want to get to. What is pace really all about? And I saw this year for the first time a new approach, a new understanding. Because those first two approaches, probably for none of us, were anything new, but they're important to Chazar. Rav Naftali Rapshitzer. Listen to Rav Naftali Rapshitzer says. The Zera Kaidish. I saw this in the Shvila Pinchas. Rav Naftali Rapshitzer, the Zera Kaidish says, you see, the whole essence of life, the whole essence of being a Yid, is that my moyach, my mind, should rule over my heart. My whole avoida is that my understanding of what's important and what I should be doing in life, my connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my Chochma, Bina, and Das, Chabad, that's in my Moyach, should be Shoylet al Alev, should rule over my heart. That's what it is to be a Yid. Our heart is subjective. My desires take me in all different places. Sometimes I want this, sometimes I want that. When my Moyach is in charge, my understanding, which my Moyach, hopefully, is infused by Torah, obviously. The Torah that I learn with my moyach, with my brain, is ruling my life, is shoylet al halev on the heart, everything's going to be good. When my desires get the best of me, when my lev takes over, things are very hard. We say it all the time, we know it. How often do we find ourselves saying, intellectually I know what the right thing to do is, but emotionally it's very, very difficult. That's that struggle. That's that struggle. We find it all the time, each and every one of us on our own levels. And the void of a yid is that our mayach should rule over the heart. The Tanya says it so beautifully. He says it a bunch of times. Obviously, this is all very big in Chabad, as we just pointed out. But the Tanya, read to you just a little bit. The Tanya, he says it unbelievably in Perek Zayin. He says it in a few places. Zeh klal gadol ba'avodat Hashem. Lebeinanim. Beinanim are all of us. If you, I'm not going to get into all that right now. If you, you have to read Tanya to understand that. But basically every single one of us is a Beinanim. You'll feed the Tanya. Ha'ikar hu limshol v'lishlot ha'teva shebechol ha'smali. The ikar is that we should rule over the teva, our natural inclinations, which is found in the left ventricle of the heart. Al yidei or Hashem, through the light of Hashem, ki nemar v'torah har, ha'meir l'nefesh olakis, that brightens up our nefesh olakis, our godly soul, shebemoyach, that's found in the brain. That's what's connected to the, our source of ruchnis, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, b'choydev atzmo, is within the moyach. And that should velishlod al halev, should rule over the heart. He goes on, kishemizbonim b'mocho, b'gadlus ein tzoyt baruch hu, when you understand in your mind, the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's nothing else but God. That lahoilid me binaso ruach das v'yiras Hashem b'mocho, and you give birth from that. You understand you have yiras Hashem and you have ruach das v'yiras Hashem. That's all in your brain. Then you're gonna sur meira, and everything's gonna be good. You're gonna rule over your lave. He goes on and on. We're not gonna keep him reading right now. And dainu will say that shall lave maven beruach chochma bina shebemocho gedulas ein tov baruch hu, and then your heart goes with you. Then your emotions follow. Rachmana liba boy. He wants you to rule over that heart, and you understand it all in your heart. The kula kamei klochash of mamish. Nothing else means anything but chochma ratzon Hashem, and your brain rules over your heart, and that's the void of what it is to be a yid. So the means to be an eved Hashem, not to be drawn by our desires. Every single one of us this week, every single one of us this week saw those images in Baltimore. Every single one of us did, right? Let's be real. We saw the animalistic ways that went on there. Disgusting, despicable, inhumane. Of individuals who to them personally nothing was done wrong. Maybe they were upset, obviously. Maybe whether there was or wasn't reason for them to be upset, none of us know the truth. None of us understand fully. That we know, neither do they. What exactly happened there? Maybe they're right, that it was too much force, and maybe it was wrong, and maybe they did hurt him, and maybe they ended up killing the guy. But that notwithstanding, we all understand the way they reacted, the rioting, is illogical and ridiculous and animalistic. Even if their Yesoid was 100% right. But where does that come from, Chevra? Where does it come from? Let's understand for a moment. You see, let me tell you something. Most of those people, I can't say all of them, but I'd venture to say most of them believed what they were doing when they're jumping on cars and breaking the windows and smashing the windows of stores and stealing everything inside and burning cars on fire and jumping around. Most of them believed they were doing something good. Most of them believe we're standing up for justice. We're showing the world. We're sticking it to the man. They believe that's the proper reaction to what happened. They believe that. And again, some of them just went out for the ride and time to have fun or whatever it is. This is their way. But many of them, I believe most of them, believe they were doing right. So who's to say they're wrong? No, each of them wants to say, what do you mean, Rabbi? They're 100% wrong. You see, but if you live in a world of subjective morality and ethics, they have their desires in their heart of what's right. Other people have their other heart and desires of what's right. Who's to say what's right? When ethics and morals, and it's all confused, and it's all from one place to another place. In one place, it's completely ethical to kill someone if he stole. And another, America itself, within years, within decades, our ethics, our morals in American culture is constantly changing. It's all based on whatever people think about and want at that particular time and date. Right now, it used to be, 50 years ago, you weren't allowed to say on TV that a woman's pregnant. Because that's not sneeze, it's not modest. How'd she get pregnant? If you say pregnant, that means someone might think how she got pregnant. You can't put that on TV. You can't put that on public TV. Now you have pornography on public TV. Now that's what you have today. But that's what's ethical. How can you not? What do you mean? This is what's going on. What are we going to be? I mean, constantly everything, because it's all whatever I desire, whatever man desires is the proper ethics and proper morals. Meaning, because we understand there's only one way to live life properly, ethically, morally. And that's the Or of Torah, because we have an objective truth to what's MS. The objective truth is only the truth of God. That's why Pirkei Avos that we're learning these days, ethics of our fathers, starts out, Moshe Kibbutz Torah, Messina, Mustul, Yeshua, Shuz, Kenim, Antje, Gansagola, with a history lesson of the giving of the Torah, because all of it is only based on Torah and comes from God. That's where our ethics and morals come from. It's objective truth. So we know it's right and wrong. And we know what we saw in Baltimore is wrong, because not because our hearts tell it to us, because our mind tells it to us, because our Torah tells it to us. That's why. So now that we understand that, Chevra, listen to what the Zera Kodesh of Tali Rav Shitzer says. Rav Tali Rav Shitzer, he says, what are the payas, Chevra? The payas is the tzinoiras, the payas is the lifeline, the payas is the portal that is mitzdarif, that joins together the moyach and the lev. The payas tells us that we have to draw our moyach down to our lev. The payas, literally, where do they start? By the temple, exactly where is keneged our moyach, and they go down, and la'alocha means supposed to continue down through the beard and up to the lev. And even if they don't continue all the way far down that far, the idea that we're pulling our moyach downwards, and achrei pulosav bo machshavosav, obviously this is all b'chitzonius, to remind us, b'pnimius, our avoid is to pull the moyach into the lave, to be shoylate the moyach over the lave. That's the symbolism of payas. That's what Tali Rav Shitzer says. What a beautiful, mamish, mechudish, beautiful understanding. I never saw it till this year, mamish. I've been yearning and couldn't wait to hold it, to tell it over. Because now every time we look in a mirror, we have a new understanding of what the avoid of a yid is. The void of the yid, my moyach is shoylet al lev, and I look at my hair and I see my pace, and it's reminding me that this is my avoidah. Who is the opposite of that? What was the zman that Paro? Paro is the representation of galus. Galus is when everything's wrong, everything's not what it's supposed to be. Paro is from Lashon ha'oyref. What's ha'oyref? The neck. He took and he grabbed onto and ruled over the neck. The neck is that same intermediary between the head and the heart. He grabbed onto it and took it away, so then we end up in galus, then we end up in a very bad place. We need to be able to bring our moyach to our heart. V'sein bilibeinu bina. V'sein bilibeinu bina, meaning put that bina, the chachma bina das, put it all onto our heart. Rule over, connect to our neshama. Now we understand, a few weeks ago we were sitting in Lal Seyda and we read about the Rasha. And who's opposite the Rasha? Not the tzaddik, the chacham. Because the way to not be a Rasha is to allow our chachma to rule over us. Now we understand what those Dalad Banim were. The payas need to be our tzinoiris, our pipeline from our brain to our heart. That's the avoid of a yid. If we allow our Torah, which is our chachma, to rule over, then we're alive. And that's what the medrash here means. There's a medrash. Listen to this medrash. Hold on, okay. A few more minutes, we're almost finished. The medrash says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hasayef v'hasefer yardu kruchim min hashamayim. The sword and the sefer is the Torah, they came kruchim, kairich, bound up together from Shemayim. Amr lehen, he said to them, to us basically, im tasu mashakosu b'sefer hazeh, if we do what's written in the sefer, if we allow the sefer, the Torah, our chokhmah, to rule over, atem nitzoylu min asayif, you'll be saved from the sword. Vim lo tasu atem, if you don't let Torah to rule over, you don't let your chokhmah to rule over, Nehergim b'sayif zeh, you're killed by the sayif. How are generally we find that the sayif kills? Cut off the head. The sayif cuts off the head. If we don't allow our chachma, the Torah, to be our ikker and rule over our lev, so we're cutting off, we're taking the sayif and cutting off our head and disconnecting it from the heart and allowing the heart to rule and take us to Malei Taivas and wherever it wants to take us. I thought maybe you could say b'derech drush. Maybe this is a little bit far, and I don't know if you'll be makabel. It's not from. It's just my own. But obviously, we know, you know. And I saw this the first time I saw this quoted. This medrash. It was in a sefer, and it didn't have the nekudos. And that's why I thought of this. That's what I thought of this. And b'stam originally the medrash didn't have the nekudos. So I read it first, actually, until I understood Pshat reading it again. But I read it first, and maybe you could say B'derech Dorosh. Amar B'lazar ha-sayif v'ha-safar. What's a safar? A barber. Sapar is a barber. Meaning the sayif and the sapar are meaning if we don't grab on to Torah, the sayif and the sapar will roll over us. The sayif meaning cutting off our neck, but the sapar will go and cut our pace. Which is cutting the pipeline from the head to the heart. Okay, that's a little bit of a drush, but I think I think you can read it. It's not shot in the medrash, but
do the same thing. The ashes, like they wipe. That's why we look in the mirror when we have a barber cut our hair because you're scared that the barber used to kill you.
Kill you, it's Emes. Oh, you're very good. Oh, it's Emes. That's right. Because once he has it in his hands, it's scary. Very good, very good, Shalom Yamin. Ah, anyways, Lameisa. Maisa, now we understand as well what we asked originally. Now we understand why when we're mechanech our children, the first mitzvah we're mechanech them is the mitzvah of peis. Now they will understand that peis represents, first of all, any of the three reasons we suggested. If it's keneged avodah zarah, hanoichi v'loyia, that's the source and that's the two mitzvahs that the Rebbeinu Shem told us b'chvod v'atzmo. If we look at it like we said, based on the Ben Ish Chai and the Kedushas Levi, to be proud to be a Yid. But more so what we've emphasized tonight, this Yisoid, that we want to teach our children the very first step. The Moyach has to rule over the Lev. Don't allow your heart to guide you, but your mind to guard you. And your heart then joins along. And we want passion, and we want excitement, and we want all the lev. We want all the motion. But ruled over by the mayach. And that's the first lesson to be mechanech a child. So we leave the payas to tell him, make sure your mayach is reaching your lev. Make sure your mayach is reaching your heart. This whole yisoid of payas of to a child, we said we learned that from Arla. It's very interesting, the lashon Arla is Arla. Before the tree is cut, it's Arla. We know also by our bris, the bris milah, which is our initiation into Yiddishkeit, also we find prior to having the bris, we're an Arel. So meaning our initiation into Yiddishkeit is very connected maybe to this upsharon, which then is the next cutting to get us out of a state of Arla. In other words, they're one and the same, and the foundation of what it means to be a Yid, and the foundation of what it means to be a Yid, is this Yisoid, to understand my Moyach has to rule over our life. So Be'ez Hashem is Baruch Mishvi Zoycha, during these days, when we're begalus, we're not in galus of paro, but we're in a galus that definitely tries to cut off the Moyach from the life, that tries, there's no question, the galus we live in is all about taiva, and all about emotions, and all about do what you want, when you want. And we should understand we have Chochmah Elokis, we have an objective truth that has to rule over our lev. We're zeiche to allow our mayach to rule over our lev. We'll be zeiche to not just have payas, but to live a life of these payas. Live a life of avdus to the Rabbeinu Shalom. We'll be zeiche only the simcha and bracha every moment of our life.